be seated. Thank you for singing so well tonight. Just a few of us, but we did it again, didn't we? Praise God. I didn't hear any gaps in the music tonight. Sean, thank you for the good backbeat. Hallelujah. And Brother Mike, thank you for once again blessing us with your talents and teaching us, amen, to sing together and to work together. It's more than just singing together. It's working together. Singing is the easier part. Amen. Working together. Amen. We've learned to work together. Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. That's an achievement in these days. Praise God. Hallelujah. Workers together with God for His eternal purpose. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bible, would you please turn back with me to our text, which is in the book of Genesis. We're going to try to not finish this study, but bring it to some more of its conclusions as the Spirit leads us tonight. We want to review a little bit tonight and take it a little bit further. We're talking about the power and privilege of having God as our covenant friend. And I want you to know, if you're going to deal with the covenant at all, you've got to do it in the context of a friendship commitment. That's why the Bible said there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That is not prophetic of Jesus. I'm going to say that again. However, every time I hear it, I think of Jesus, number one. Amen. Everybody say, there is a friend, who sticks closer than a brother. There's no star beside it in a reference Bible. None of the scholars believe that was directly prophetic of Jesus. It was talking about covenant commitment, because no one comes into a covenant, the biblical covenant, that are not dedicated friends to one another. This was not political situations that's going on. One of the signs of the last day, people would be truce breakers. They'll come into these seeming covenants, but they're not really covenants at all. Amen. And they are truce breakers. They've had a truce in Israel for a little while. Another, I don't know how many. You'd have to tabulate that down through the years that they would come into a kind of a truce. But that truce is already being violated. They're lobbed a missile over into Israel. They have blow up a house that's supposed to be covering a tunnel for the Palestinians to sneak through, and so the exchange of gunfire and rocket fire is still going on, because we're living in a time, no matter what you do on one side, it takes two sides to have a true truce, and we're living in a time of truce breakers. Can you say amen? And that's evident in the history of man. Man himself, fallen man, is a truce breaker. He's not a promise keeper. Can you say amen? Fallen man is a truce breaker. We've got marriage today that the divorce rate in the church, and many of church Christians have experienced divorce, takes two people. It's not you can't fault two people. Sometimes it is both parties. Sometimes it is one party, and the other has no control over what they do. The problem is we're not keeping our commitments very well. And when I first came into Christianity, we could hold Christianity up and show the world how to do it, praise God, because Christian men and women found in Christ the answer and solution to their marital problems. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Doesn't mean just that I can preach, prophesy, lay hands on the sick, raise the dead, amen, get holy laughter and fall out. It means that I can make my marriage work. I can love that person with unconditional love. Amen. And that person can love me with unconditional love. Amen. And the Spirit of God in me and the Spirit of God in that person ought to be able to get together. Amen. Amen? I'm not accusing anyone. I'm saying there's a breakdown. We're using the power of God for reasons that are not as important as the things He has placed on the top shelf. Amen? We want the power of God to put ourselves up as some spiritual elite or somebody in many circles, but we don't want to use the power of God to have a servant heart and really help people when they're hurting. Praise God. We need to get all of that reorganized. Jesus is the man that God wants every man and woman to be like. He is the supreme example. Amen? And He made of Himself no reputation, but humbled Himself and took on Himself the form of a servant. Can you say amen? The Bible said the Son of Man didn't come to be served. The Son of Man came to serve. Praise God. And that's the servant heart that God is looking for. Well, it can work in marriages. It can work in relationships. We don't know a lot about keeping covenants. God knows everything about keeping covenants. from day one, when he began to establish his blessings upon his chosen people, he did it by contracting with Abraham, coming into a covenant. And he came into a covenant where two friends who were walking together in love and unity, amen, committed themselves to one another. God became the friend of Abraham, and Abraham was called the friend of God. And we read this morning, amen, when Jehoshaphat went out to fight that great battle, he reminded God, said, you know, you gave us this land to Abraham and to his seed, which is Abraham, your friend forever. Everybody say, amen, your friend forever. Praise God. This is an eternal covenant that keeps graduating down even to our day. And if there was 1,000 more years of time upon this earth, and there certainly is not, but this covenant would be in effect. It's a forever covenant. It's to every generation. I'm just going to read this real quick, and then we're going to get into that ancient ritual of covenants, and we're going to review and then go a little bit further tonight. What they actually did, what God entered into with us, and how it relates to Jesus. Are you interested a little bit in this tonight? Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad. Did anybody come here tonight, amen, wanting to know God any better than you know Him? Not just get something else from Him, but to know Him better than you know Him. Amen. That's the great thing that I'm after all of these years. Amen. I the realization is the harder I dig and the deeper I go, the more I find out how deep it is and how much deeper it is than I ever dreamed it was. Amen. And I find out that I want to know Him better and more. I don't know all there is to know. I have enough knowledge to know that there is so much more than I know. That when I study my Bible, I'm not just studying for a sermon. I want to make a discovery. I'm not even looking for one of those nuggets of revelation anymore. Amen. I just want to know the Lord. You know why? Because they that do know their God, what does it do to your faith? What does it do to your faith? Amen. I'm not in there to build my faith. I'm in there to know my God. But what happens when you know your God? They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Well, it takes faith to do that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, I just want to know my God. What did Paul say? Oh, that I might know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings, that I might also know Him in the power of His resurrection. Praise God. Oh, that I might know Him. He never stopped seeking the knowledge of God. And you will never have it all, get it all. There's no set of tapes that can give it to you. Amen. This is your whole life will be in an experience. In fact, your whole life with the best revelations available. And Paul had enough revelation that he said, literally, God used him to write 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. If you count the book of Hebrews, which is a little bit debatable, but most scholars believe Paul was the author of the book of Hebrews. He had out of body. He said, I can't determine that, but such a one was caught up into third heaven, saw unutterable things. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. With all of these credentials, a Jew of the Jew, and circumcised the eighth day according to the law of the tribe of Benjamin, he said, everything that I count gain to me, I count it as but dung that I might win Christ and know Christ. And I don't want to know anything among you. My knowledge, if I get off into a tangent, then I'm not going to go after what God has called me to apprehend and comprehend. Can you say, man, so I don't want to know anything among you but Christ and Him crucified. Somewhere in this is the revelation of the love of God. Amen. The great covenant, the great new covenant is revealed in that. The love that held Jesus to that tree is revealed in that. All of this power to us who believe, praise God, hallelujah, is represented on that cross and that man that is hanging on that cross, because in Him dwelt how much of the fullness of the Godhead? All of it, praise God. But it demystified all the characteristics of God. There's no mystery because Jesus, the God incarnate, all the fullness in a man. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And He was one of the most practical. If you're looking for the mystical, the most practical man I know. Everybody's looking for that deep revelation. Get into Jesus, for heaven's sakes. Amen. What do you want to know about? Amen. We're trying to figure out some things that's not even time to be revealed. Do you know there's a time the Antichrist is going to be revealed? and people trying to figure out who he is when it's not time to figure out who he is. Amen. They had Kaiser Wilhelm was the Antichrist. There's a lady told my son that Barack Obama was the Antichrist. Honestly, she's Bible packing lady. Said he's from Middle East, Middle Eastern, bloodline, and he's this, and he's that, and he's got the answer for everything, and boy, it's almost over now, because he's the Antichrist, and he's President of the United States. Well, you may or may not agree with the president's politics, but I don't believe Barack Obama is the Antichrist. They thought Hitler was the Antichrist, because it looked like he's going to take over the world and rule the world, But he didn't even meet the qualifications that the Bible said. He just didn't meet the qualifications for the Antichrist. Antichrist is not going to start out by conquering everybody, amen, with a military regime. The Antichrist is going to come, amen, with a message of peace. And he's going to have answers, because all the demons that are stirring up trouble in the world, amen, they're going to lay back long enough for him to convince the world that he is the one that's going to bring peace to this earth. First 3.5 years of the tribulation is not judgments, cataclysmic judgments. It is a time of false peace and false security. Can you say amen? And all the world is going to wander after him. And the world is war weary. Are you listening to me? The world is so tired of just having war after war. Right now, wars and rumors of war, amen, is keeping every nation poised for some kind of conflict. Amen. Every nation in the world is looking at other nations with suspect. We've got, and there'll be a little bit of reprieve, and then something will boil over here and boil over there. There's probably around 40 wars, give or take, being fought right now on this planet. Isn't that incredible? Just because we're involved. When we come out of Vietnam, and we get back into Iraq and in Afghanistan, and now it's cranking up again in Afghanistan, it's cranking up again in Iraq, amen. North Korea for a while looked like that was going to become an area where we might have to get more deeply involved. And honestly, with our military spread out to Afghanistan and Iraq, we were not ready to deal with Korea. Amen. But there's no suspecting weapons of mass destruction being made. Honey, they're making them and they're selling them. And the world is war weary. I'm so glad I know a covenant-keeping God. I'm so glad I know how all this is going to play out, biblically speaking. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We're in a world full of truce breakers. Perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves. And out of that is going to come this whole plethora of other negative characteristics of fallen man as Satan gains more and more influence on this earth. They'll be disobedient to parents. They will be unholy. They'll be unthankful. They will be truce breakers. Proud, blasphemers, heady, high-minded, truce breakers. Everybody say truce breakers. You make a promise, you break that promise. Amen. And there's nothing to break it. It doesn't matter. Used to, a man's word was his bond, a verbal contract. The man laid his character on the line when he made a verbal contract. Now, there's no character to lay on the line. You better get it in writing. Everybody say, you better get it in writing. Well, they told me the payment would be this. You better have it in writing. Amen? Because if you don't have it in writing, you're going to get in trouble. I remember buying a house years and years ago when my budget was so strict. Amen. I mean, it was down to the, whether or not we got bread, toast to go with our eggs or not. That's how close our budget. Pamela, we didn't have those computers and all these different things, little handheld stuff. All we had was a red clicker. It was plastic. And when you get something, you click, until 39 cents. And you click and click and click until that, because we'd got too embarrassed too many times. We'd get up front and we'd go $2.52 over budget. And then you look down at what's up front and say, well, we can't get rid of the baby food. The baby got to eat. That's out of the question. Eliminate. We're keeping all the baby food. Baby drinking milk. Got to keep the milk or the formula. Amen? We really need that. We really need that soup there, amen. We need this right here, because that's supper for Friday night and Saturday night. We need this and we need that. But boy, you know something? These graham crackers right here that we put peanut butter on, we can do without them graham crackers. Take them graham crackers. We'd pull it back off. So finally, I got Pamela this little red plastic thing with white buttons. And I didn't have to look for Pamela down aisles to find her because it made a clicking sound. It was plastic. And you click it, click, 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 you know, 30, and it keeps running, a running total going. And I would hear clickety, click, 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 way down the aisle. I just follow the clicks. And there's Pamela picking up something and clicking on it to see whether to put it in the buggy or not. That's where we come from. That's why when God blesses me, amen, with a little, I shout, I give him glory, I give him honor, I'm thankful to the Lord, amen. I'm glad that I came. There's so many people who got so much and they got a long face, amen. I love to take them to Haiti with me when I used to go in and out of there and do missionary work and let them see what the real poverty is and come back and be grateful, praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't God good tonight? I'm so glad to have a God who isn't a truce breaker. I'm so glad to have a God that is a covenant keeper. I'm so glad to have a God that is so committed once he establishes a covenant, amen, that there's no possibility that he would ever even entertain the thought of breaking that covenant, amen, that he has made. So when God comes into a covenant, it's not like a man coming into the covenant. And I want you to know when he brings a man into it, men can fail, and they did fail, nationally and personally, God. But God kept his end when they would come back to him. Every time they came back to him, God kept his end of the covenant. If they returned unto him, no matter what they did, and no matter if it wasn't trouble that drove them back home, when they got back home, God welcomed them with open arms as a covenant friend. Amen. Did they deserve it? No. Do you deserve it? No. One of the things going to hit you when you get to heaven isn't the grandeur of the city. Amen. I thought I would, initially I thought, man, everybody's described the city to me. Oh, the city, the city. And I used to just think about it and try to imagine. I looked up all of these different, there's 12 foundations to the city as you approach it, according to John in the book of Revelation. 12 layers of foundation, and every layer of precious, pure, precious stone. Amen? Every layer. 12 gates to the city. Each one, not pearls inlaid with pearl. No. Each one carved from a solid pearl. You say, where did they get a pearl that big? Well, this is God's city. One thing for sure, they didn't get it from some oyster shell. Can you say amen down here? God created a pearl that big to be carved by angels into a gate that beautiful. Praise God. Amen. The street is of transparent gold. I can't imagine coming through a gate like that, seeing a shining city like that, and walking on a street like that. And I thought, the grandeur of this city is going to be so overwhelming. But you know what's going to be overwhelming? When you get there, when I get there, and if you're washed in the blood of Jesus, and you keep the beginning of your confidence steadfast to the end. Amen? You're going to live in that city. Praise God. You know what's going to hit you? I really don't belong here. The initial thing, when you get in a holy, honey, it's holy. Amen. Not holy like we determine. Angels that minister in that kind of presence are created with wings in their bodies that are not used, all of them to move with. Three sets of wings on the ministering angels that minister in the presence of God, according to Isaiah chapter 6. Can you say amen? Three sets of wings. With twain, they did move about. What did they do with the other two sets? They covered their face and they covered their feet. Amen? Because of that exposure to the presence of God. And we're going to go into that city where that God sits upon the throne. Amen. Where the walls allow his glory to shine and illuminate the entire city. We're going to walk into that city. Into that holy presence that the Bible distinguishes as unapproachable light. And we're going to approach that light in glorified bodies with full acceptance. Everybody say full acceptance. And you know what we're going to realize? I am only here by the grace of God. I don't care how much you've achieved or how great you think you are. In fact, if you think you're too great, they won't let you in. Can you say, amen? I mean, that'll get you a ticket south of heaven. Amen. Listen, pride. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. But what's going to bowl you over is, I didn't earn this. I didn't merit this. And I really don't belong here. I'm not holy enough to stand in this. The major prophet in the Old Testament who preached what is commonly called Isaiah 53, the gospel in the Old Testament. The whole message of the cross and the finished work of Jesus on that cross is epitomized in Isaiah 53. Amen. As God revealed to him down through the tunnel of time, amen, that a Redeemer would come down the cross, take our place, take our guilt. Can you say amen? And bring a righteousness that is impeccable. Praise God that God could grant us access to that city. It's all in Isaiah chapter 53. This major prophet of the Old Testament, when getting his calling, comes into that holy presence. And what does he say? Woe is me, for I am undone. God's choice to speak for him as a major influence and to bring the preview of the gospel. A mighty important message came through Isaiah. And yet, when he's in God's presence, he feels a sense of unworthiness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Who will go for us? Who shall I send? We got all kinds of people stepping up today saying, I'll go, send me. No, he didn't say, I'll go. He said, here am I. But the first thing he said, if you're going to use me, and that you're calling me to speak, the words that you're going to give me to speak through these lips of clay, I need to be sanctified. I need something to happen in me. Amen. I'm undone. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and I feel so unworthy. Everybody say unworthy. Hallelujah. We're not worthy of the blood of Jesus. Make no mistake about it. But we are worthy through the blood of Jesus. And when we get to heaven, we're going to realize just how unworthy we are, and just how holy God is, and just how graciously blessed we have been to be granted through the blood of Jesus access to the holy city. Can you say amen? It's going to blow us away. Amen. The very holiness of God, I believe, is going to blow us away. I believe we're going to be oblivious to the city itself for a long time. We're going to have a time just getting over the fact that we made it. Can you say amen? You're going to see people there you didn't think was going to make. And one of them is going to be you. Hallelujah. Amen. When you get there, you're going to realize God is holy. So holy that the angels didn't just cry holy in his presence, did they? They said, holy, holy, holy. What are the 420 elders crying right now? They're crying holy. Can you say amen? There's a sense, an overwhelming. Angels that have lived with him from the inception through eons of time are still crying holy in his presence. They're still taken back at the holiness of God. Hallelujah. And that holy God has come into a covenant with a people on this earth and committed himself to them in love. In a friendship relationship. Abraham was called because of a covenant God set up, the friend of God. And Jehoshaphat said of Abraham, your friend forever. Amen. They understood the permanence, the enduring quality of God's covenant to his people. I just want to read that again tonight. Every time I read it, I get my preach on. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I'm the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, or Abram, and God talked with him, saying, But as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations I have made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee and their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed forever. Everybody say forever. And when people made covenants in those days, and God talked to Abraham about covenants, this is what Abraham knew. These were the ancient custom of covenants. By the way, again, covenants were not made for political reasons, not the biblical kind of covenants. These covenants were made because two friends who loved each other deeply wanted to make a lifelong commitment to one another to never break that friendship and to always be available to the other one, no matter what the need was, to always be available to each other. They were in the context of intimacy. So much of what we got into in Pentecost didn't involve intimacy. We got into power, we got into faith, we got into all the different things, but not in the intimacy with God. And yet the Bible said truly in the New Testament, our fellowship, everybody say fellowship, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That word fellowship is interchangeable with the word communion. It's from that same Greek origin, and it means intimacy. Amen. When Jesus wants access to the heart, He wants to do more than save you. The primary reason, listen, saving your, I sort of say sorry, Hyde. How many know before we got saved, we were wretched? Amen. I don't want to offend anybody here, but our Hyde isn't worth very much without salvation. Can you say amen? He didn't want to just save our sorry hide from a devil's hell. That's not the primary reason He went to the cross. That's a byproduct of the primary reason. Going to heaven and escaping hell is not the primary reason Jesus hung on the cross. Now that I've got your attention, everybody looking at me quizzically, I love it when you look at me that way. That means I can give you a scripture. And that means I better give you a scripture. Can you say amen? The just has suffered for the unjust, that He might keep us from going to hell and make sure we get to heaven. No, that He might, everybody say intimacy. That He might bring us to God. Everybody say, bring us to God. There's a word used in the context of salvation called reconciliation. We have been reconciled unto God. Some people think we don't need reconciliation. But the Bible said if we don't believe on Jesus as our Savior, the wrath of God justifiably rests upon us. Every person outside the blood covenant is under the wrath of God because God is so holy, He cannot abide sin. He can't turn it and look the other way because He loves us. He can't deal with it any other way than to judge it in His Son and offer us salvation by accepting His Son. Amen? We don't know a lot about the holiness of God. We just don't. A sinner's in hell for 1 billion years. He hasn't paid his sin debt. It must be more offensive to God than anything we can conceive. The reason you can't imagine that, why isn't that enough? Because you're not holy in the sense of divinity. I hate to break it to you, but you're not holy in the sense of divinity. Your holiness comes through the blood of Jesus and the Word of God, sanctifying you, setting you apart unto Him, but at your very best, there will be times and seasons where you have to confess a sin before. Not that you're bound by it, but you have weak flesh, and it's going to give you a problem as long as you're in this world and as long as you're in this body. Can you say amen? Everybody in this room, if you don't have seasons of repentance, then you assume yourself to be in sinless perfection. And if you say that you have no sin, now if you say you're a sinner and you just driven, you got to sin every day, you haven't experienced true salvation. Because His seed remains in us that we sin not. That don't mean we can't sin. It means that we have a bent toward righteousness. Sin is not what we are driven to do anymore. In fact, we're driven to do right. But Paul said, when I would do right, evil presents itself. I don't invite it. I don't want it. But it shows up. Your flesh will cause evil to present itself. Amen? It'll want to go a contrary way. But the Bible said if we say we have no sin as believers in 1 John, we lie. We're not honest. We're not truthful. And this is why I preach repentance so positively instead of that negative attitude toward it. I always get the negative attitude, but it's not because I preach it in a negative way. That's why repentance is so positive. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin. He's faithful because He loves us. He's just because He judged our sin in Jesus. When we confess, God is justified in forgiving us because He's judged our sin in Christ so that He can forgive us. He's not sweeping it under the rug. Hallelujah. Jesus suffered so that He could forgive us. I don't want Jesus' suffering to be in vain. Amen. When I find myself convicted by the Holy Spirit, I want to go before God and ask His forgiveness. Can you say amen? I'm into repentance because the Bible teaches it. And it cleanses me. I don't have to be guilt-laden. I don't have to be pushed. My prayer life doesn't have to suffer. My faith doesn't have to suffer. Amen. I can be forgiven. Praise God. I can be restored. There's power in repentance. Praise God. And there's joy in the cleansing that comes through repentance. I see people that don't do that. And David said, my bones actually, when I held my peace, when I didn't repent, my bones waxed old with roaring all day. I couldn't find peace, no matter where I went or what I did. Inside me, there was a storm, amen, just casting up mire and dirt. But when he found that wonderful release, he said, happy to be envied. Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered. Hallelujah. Amen? But isn't it a blessing? Isn't it a blessing to see people repent, get truly right with God, get their joy back, get the peace of God back? Amen. How do you be able to worship God in the beauty of holiness? This is a holy God saying, I want an intimate relationship with you. I want to come into a covenant with you, Abraham. I don't want to just lay blessings out here. I want them to come in an overarching context of a committed friend to one another. I want to be the best friend that you ever had. And I want to be a friend to a nation of people. And I want to demonstrate the strength of my love and the strength of my covenant by choosing a people who are the least in number of any of the nations of the earth. And not only that, he chose a people that this is what God said of them. And by the way, it's true of all fallen man. But I just want you to know these were not special. God made them special by choosing to love them. But they in themselves were not special. The Bible said of them, the people he set his love on and came into covenant with, that you are a stiff-necked people. You're stubborn, self-willed. Everybody say stubborn and self-willed. Let me tell you something about your flesh. It's stubborn and self-willed. And the fact that God is so patient with us and persistent in His love is one of the miracles that we experience every single day. Thank you for the hearty amen. 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 One of the hardest things as a pastor in counseling, preaching is part of the counseling, but you're getting counsel here today. Jesus is the wonderful counselor. Can you say amen? You know one of the hardest things is the man of God must not strive. I can't let my emotions get in. I can't let my patience run thin. I can't just I can't just lose it. I must be patient. Instructing those, and this is why it's hard to be patient. Instructing those, listen to me, that oppose themselves. Most people find it hard to believe and accept that you are your own worst enemy. You would rather have the devil be your worst enemy because then you are without responsibility. We went through a season of Pigs in the Parlor, that book, and others that came on the market, and everything that had to do with our old... Now, there's demons that do need to be cast out. Don't get me wrong here. But a lot of people attributed everything to evil spirits. What a cop-out. You got flesh that has to be crucified. Every time that you have a problem with inordinate sexuality, it's not a sexual devil. It's common to your flesh. Amen? You wouldn't have to overcome temptation if you couldn't be tempted. And being tempted doesn't mean you're demon-possessed. It means you're human. Thank you for the hearty amen. Isn't it the easiest thing to blame the devil? Flip Wilson did it all the time. Bad theology made for good comedy on television. Flip Wilson goes in to buy a dress. As he's playing, what was the role he played? Thank you. I knew somebody. See? I don't ask him about scripture, but I ask him about these things. No, I'm just kidding. He knows the scripture. You get an A today. Geraldine. Geraldine goes and sees this dress is way over budget. Can't afford it. Comes home and, why did you spend all that money on that dress? I said, well, the devil made me do it. Boy, what a cop out. Bible says to you, give what? No place to the devil. Because friend, if you're a Christian tonight, if you don't give him place, he is not authorized to take any ground from you. Can you say amen? I looked up that word place, and you know what it means? Terra firma. It's a piece of ground. It's a piece of property. It's something that can be sold. It's something that can be deeded. Or it's something that can be kept and defended. Can you say amen? But it's your property, praise God. Hallelujah. And the devil has no right to trespass. Every Christian should have a sign up on your soul directed to the devil and the minions of hell. No trespassing. Trespassers will be prosecuted in the name of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? I'm telling you, if you don't give place to the devil, he can't take any. Amen. Give no ground to the devil. None. But when we give in to our flesh, we give ground to the devil. Oh, we don't sit down and deed it to him. We just give him the right. Listen, Romans 6:16 says, whoever you yield your members, servants to obey. Whoever you choose to obey. The promptings of your flesh, tempted by the devil, or the promptings of the Holy Spirit that God has placed in you. But whoever you give your members, servants to obey. His servants you are whom you obey. You can't sing He is Lord on Sunday and go out there and give in to the promptings of the flesh on Monday and give place to the devil. You can't drink of the cup of devils simultaneously. Wow. So the issue with Geraldine was, well, why did you do it knowing we couldn't afford it? Said the devil made me do it. What a cop out. The devil has never made any Christian do anything. Christians have given place to the devil. Amen. If Satan can make you do something, you wouldn't have never got saved. Satan would have made you not get saved. But he couldn't stop you from getting saved. There's not a thing he could do. When you decided you wanted to receive Jesus as your Savior, all hell fought that. And everything in hell failed to stop you from coming to Christ. Because God will absolutely push back the powers of darkness. Can you say, man, when you set your heart and mind to... I've had people say, and I have it all the time. I've pastored for, 36 years? Going on 36 years? Over 36 years, if you count the pastoring I did before I came here. The short time that was spent, if you're cumulative. And people are saying, oh, I know God did it for this one. I've heard that testimony, but God won't do it for me. Yes, He'll do it for you. He'll do it for anybody. The issue isn't whether God will deliver you. The question is, do you really want to give up your pet sin? Say, Brother Ben, I've never heard the term pet sin. Well, every sin that's more important than being right with God is a pet sin. Amen. And people that are not getting right with God, believe me, there's a reason for it, and there's a pet sin somewhere. Amen. That we love too much, and we can't imagine doing without this. Some people, it's unforgiveness. I'm going to carry this to the grave. I'm going to carry this grudge to the grave. Well, honey, you better carry some ice water with you. Can you say amen? You're going to need it. I have a right to not forgive. If you come to Jesus, you don't have a right. Amen. Freely you receive. You got to freely forgive. Everybody say you got to give it like you got it. Hallelujah. We don't have the right to hold it. I don't know why I'm on this, but I'm on it. And I'm not going to get off of it because I got God behind me in the scripture. And I know what I'm talking about. We can't keep blaming the devil for defeat God's got a covenant of victory for you, a covenant of victory for me. Amen. When we came to Christ, something happened. You positionally, the Bible said you were translated. Listen, you didn't just get saved in the sense of God wiping your sin away and leaving you under Satan's control. That something else happened. Amen. We were translated. Everybody say translated. How many's ever watched Star Trek? How many's ever watched anybody get beamed up? You got a Trekkie? We got Trekkies? All right, Trekkies in the house. Amen. We can use an illustrated sermon. Listen. What did Captain Kirk say when he's down on that alien planet and some another's threatening him? And he says, I got to get out of here. Amen. I got to get out of this place. I cannot stay in this place. Amen. Beam me up, Scotty. I don't know, Captain. I don't know. But beam me up. Beam me up. And he beams him up. That's what translation is. It's moved from one state of being to another state of being. And in particular, amen, you have come out of that rule, that prison house, that place of influence where Satan, amen, drove you to sin. Can you say amen? You've come out of the prison house. You've been translated, the scripture said, out of the powers of darkness. Everybody say, out of the influence of the evil one. Hallelujah. Now that doesn't mean you still don't have the flesh to deal with, but the devil is not your boss anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is the Lord of your life. You have been translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Remember making a radio broadcast about 3 weeks ago talking about coming out from under Satan's influence when you get saved and using Malcolm in the Middle as an illustration. The theme song to Malcolm in the Middle, how many know what it says over and over again? You ain't the boss of me now. You ain't the boss of me now and you ain't so big. Can you say, man, it is so good to be able to look the devil in the eye and declare you ain't the boss of me anymore. And you ain't so big either. Can you say amen? You were defeated at the cross. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're not the boss of me. God wants an intimate relationship where the love burns so bright. The reason missionaries went, the reason the gospel is touching the world like it is because of the blood that was shed from missionaries. That left house, land, family, fame, fortune. And initially, many of the missionaries had to die for their faith in our generation. Thank you for the heart of you. That's the reality. They gave their life's blood. If you ever watched the movie, The End of the Spear, it's a true story. The initial missionaries into that area were killed for their faith. They laid down their life's blood for the testimony of Christ. But when those people saw them lay down their life to tell them about Jesus, it sowed a seed like nothing else. They did not die in vain, and God did not fail to protect them. They had already, listen, there was a missionary lady and her husband in one of the Arab countries preaching Jesus, one of the most dangerous places to preach Jesus. Can you say amen? Finally, one day while her husband was away, someone came and knocked on the door of their home. And when the lady of the house came to the door, a woman probably in her mid-30s, a young missionary couple, when she came to the door, he had a pistol in his hand. He put the pistol to her forehead and ended her life immediately. She crumpled to the ground. Her husband is still preaching to those people in that very area. And they ask him, "Were you not angry at God? Were you not mad with God for your wife's life being taken?" And he said, "How could I be angry with God? We laid down our life before we left home." Now, you may not understand that tonight. And all the people preaching about all of the other, you know, that you can just call all the shots and something must have been wrong with their faith. No, honey, there wasn't nothing wrong with their faith. There was something very right with that kind of faith. None of those people are leaving anything. They're not putting themselves in harm's way. They go back to the comfort of a huge suite in an expensive motel and ride the limo to the airport and ride the jet home. Are you listening to me? So I just don't want to hear them accuse the faith of people who have laid down their lives so others can know Jesus. Amen? Amen. So the tapes you have, don't ever give them to me. I'm just going to throw them in the garbage. I'll throw them directly. I'll look at who the preacher is, and I won't even listen to the first word. I'll throw it in the garbage. Ain't got nothing to say to me. Thank you for the hearty amen. Just wanted to tell you, give them to somebody else, unless you want them in the garbage. We got a big dumpster back there. We'll get a bigger one if we need it. Hallelujah. I remember when Don Norman came to our church, he established 46 churches in South Africa. We preached on love for God, loving Him enough, if it come to it, to lay down our life, talking about a commitment to a God who's already committed Himself to the death to us. In a true covenant, people commit themselves to the death to one another. Amen? The gospel would not be in China if people hadn't bled and died for it. One plants, another waters, and God gives the increase. The gospel would not be in South America if people hadn't bled and died for it. It would not be in any of these places. Listen, you can't take the message, the fluffy little message that's heard in most services on Sunday morning, amen, and bring revival to these nations. It took a deeper commitment. It took a gospel. It took a Jesus that was valued above anything in this world, even our own lives. And Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you can't unless you hate father, mother, sister, brother, house, land, and yea, even your own life. Now, that doesn't mean I hate my mama. It doesn't mean that I don't enjoy my home. It means if it came to it and it says you got to make a choice, Christ or your home. I choose Christ. I don't wait till the time comes. I choose it now. One day, through a lawsuit, you say, oh, that's a bad confession. Don't say, oh, honey, how would you kill a giant if you didn't admit he was there? Can you say amen? Wouldn't it be awful if David bought into that? And they said, have you seen the size of this man? And he says, what man? How goofy can we get in the name of faith? I don't see no man. You know what would have happened to David with that kind of theology? That giant would have lobbed his head clean off, put it on a pike, and carried it around as a souvenir. It says, don't matter how big he is. Doesn't matter his size. I see him. I understand the odds. But God, a covenant keeping, all this is covenant faith. Don't get me back on that because we did that this morning. But it's all because they knew the covenant. David had to know the covenant to run at that giant. He had to know God had made a covenant with Israel. Just like Jehoshaphat, who called Abraham's name and brought it up when he was going to fight this battle. You gave this land to us. Abraham, your forever friend. We're the seed of Abraham. Hallelujah, you're going to stand with us in battle. These deep commitments are in the framework of intimacy. God wanted our hearts committed to Him. So He did it by first committing His heart to us. When Israel forsook the Lord, there was a Hebrew name for abandoned, like a husband would leave a wife because of she's failed him, and he walks away and abandons her. And the word for abandoned and barren was used. When they came back, God said, your name is no more going to be called abandoned. It's going to be called Beulah. Beulah, which means married. Can you say amen? You came back, I restore the covenant promises and the covenant blessings to you. Praise God. Every time they came back, did He restore? Without exception. Every time they came back, He restored the covenant blessings. And when He restored the covenant blessings, nations that thought they were still vulnerable because they'd seen them defeated, they decided we're going to come up and take them. And they met God on the battlefield, didn't they? They didn't meet Israel's army on the battlefield. They met God on the battlefield defending them. Did they lose any battles? No, not one. As long as there was no sin in the camp. Amen? They won every single battle. If you want to blame the devil for your defeats, And if you want to blame demon spirits for your old sorry flesh, well, it must be sorry, God said, to crucify it and the lust thereof. Must not be nothing redeemable about it. He said, mortify your members upon you. Put it to death. And to reckon yourself to be dead to its promptings. It's going to prompt you, but you have no allegiance to it anymore. You're not obligated anymore. You've been translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Can you say amen? Lady came to our church and she was waiting to meet another lady. I came over with the vacuum cleaner. Me and Matthew, we're gonna vacuum the rugs. And this lady had going to meet another lady. They were going to pray or go out to eat. I don't know which one it was. But they had already said they were going to meet together. It was 15 minutes after the time that they said they were going to meet. And these are two so-called friends. This is back when we're blaming the devil for everything. The devil does enough, but if we're going to give him that kind of credit, we're not giving Jesus hardly any. Last time I read the Bible, he that's in you, if he's in you, is what? Greater. Everybody say greater than he that's in the world. Behold, I give you power. Listen to this. What did Jesus say? I want to get this straight tonight. We were into covenant, God changing it again. Listen. Behold, I give you power over how much of the power of the enemy? How much do you have as a believer? All. Then you can't blame him. You had to give place to him. If you don't acknowledge that, you'll never know victory. Never, never, never. You'll live on a roller coaster of great highs and then you'll bottom out because the devil will have access to you until you understand it's my flesh that is not subject to God and it's my heart that is not dedicated is why I'm not conquering my flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence out of it or what? The issues of life. Behold, I give you power over all, A-double-L, all the power of the devil. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. All the power of the devil. Amen. The Bible said Satan goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Everybody say, we can win this thing. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I take you the whole armor of God that you might be defeated, you might go have a win a few, lose a few. No, take the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand in the evil day, having done, literally having overcome all. When you put on the armor, you are an overcomer, praise God. And you don't go out to overcome, you go out to demonstrate that victory has already been won at the cross. And you go out to establish that fact. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not fighting the devil to win a battle, I'm establishing that victory is already won. Praise God. Hallelujah. So anyway, these two ladies are there, and of course everything is a spirit now. It's the biggest cop-out in the world if you put everything in the spiritual context. Did you know Peter's mother-in-law had a fever? Some people said he wasn't even married. I wondered how he got a mother-in-law. It's just one of those things I wonder about. Can you say, man, how do you do that? I mean, the virgin birth was one thing, but a mother-in-law just showing up and you're not married? That's right up there with the virgin birth. Anyway, I've heard preachers say he wasn't really married. He was just, and then they said Jesus was married. They get so flaky. Peter's mother-in-law had a fever. Jesus didn't deal with the spirit of infirmity. He just rebuked the fever. Amen. If you get a cold, your body has antibodies. They're going to rise up to fight the cold. You know what a fever is a sign of? Your body's fighting something. White blood cells are out there going at it, creating some heat in there. Can you say, man, it's a good thing? Everybody say it's a good thing. If your body wasn't fighting it, it'd take over. Your body's fighting it. So what did Jesus do? He rebuked the fever. So whatever in that body was going on came under his rebuke. The lady was wonderfully healed. Can you say amen? Some people he cast spirits out of. That's why discerning of spirits is so important. When you relegate everything to the devil, you don't need discerning of spirits because everything's him. If we don't start dealing with the flesh, we're going to keep blaming the devil. And if we don't blame the devil, we're going to do something worse. We're going to start questioning God. Why doesn't God hear my prayer? Why doesn't God deliver me? Why doesn't God give me victory? Why can't I overcome this? Amen. Who is he that overcomes the world? He that believes Jesus is the Son of God. You're highly qualified to win this battle. Everybody say, we're highly qualified. But this lady's in the back of the church, and I couldn't believe my ears. I thought, what friends? Dear Lord, with friends like that, who needs enemies? She's back there, and somebody's 15 minutes late. She keeps looking at the clock, and I see she's getting madder and madder and madder. Anything could have happened. But anyway, it's 15 minutes. You have need of patience. It's 15 minutes. And she said, well, I guess she's not coming. She said she'd be here at 8 o'clock. She must have a lying spirit. Okay. The lady either forgot, the lady had a flat, the lady got caught in traffic, the lady's just slow. Sometimes my wife's trying to get one little thing in her hair that's sticking up that won't go down to go down. Something like that happens to me, I cut it off. Three times I do that, I spray it with hairspray. If it's stubborn, I clip it off. That's it. I ain't fooling with you. I ain't got time to play. My wife said, what are you doing? I said, it won't lay down. She said, quit it. Grab the scissors out of my hand. You're going to ruin it. I'm not very patient either, but I don't blame. I don't talk about Christians as if the devil can ride roughshod in and out of their life anytime he wants to or do anything he wants to do. He does not have that kind of authority tonight. We're in a covenant with the God of victory. No nation could ever come against Israel inspired by hell, amen, to destroy them, that God didn't fight in their behalf as long as they were standing, amen, up before him in righteousness. Amen. I don't mean sinless perfection. I mean in righteousness, showing him a desire to serve him and to bow to no other gods and to be quick to repent when we do wrong. God will stand up and fight for you, praise God. And if God be for us, who can be against us? You cannot be defeated, and you cannot blame devils. You've got to take some personal responsibility. When I'm defeated, when I've sensed defeat somewhere, I go to God and I say, I know the devil doesn't have authority to do this. So Lord, where did I leave the door open? I get honest about victory. I want victory. I'm not playing games about it. Amen. Satan didn't get into this thing to harass you. I want you to know that. He didn't get into this thing to bother you a little bit, harangue you, harass you. The thief came to steal, and then he came to kill so that he could destroy. Can you say amen? Listen to me. I have seen lives destroyed. I've seen people go from the pulpit to destruction, from prophesying to being killed, from singing the praises of God to committing suicide. From casting out devils on occasion when necessary, to alcoholism and drug abuse. From holy anointings to the exposure of secret sins. From influence in the body of Christ to bringing a reproach on his name and his gospel. And to make it worse, many of them wanted to be embraced. And we want to embrace them. But we want to bring them to repentance. Not to imply that it's okay. God doesn't care. He does care. So when I preach about a covenant, it means that we got to get real serious. God is serious about loving us by covenant. We need to be serious about bowing before him and being honest before him. Can you say amen? You can't just claim a covenant and put it all on God and none. No responsibility. You and me. If I walk in the light as he is in the light, there's a continual application of the blood of Jesus. that pleads in my behalf. Can you say amen? But if I open the door to darkness, then I have made a choice, and the devil didn't do anything over top of me that I didn't give place to him. I can give place to worry and fear and not run to my high tower and let it grip my heart and give Satan an inroad into my life that there's no way he could have come across the wonderful, wonderful barriers and hedges that God has placed to keep me. When Israel sinned, they lost battles. It's that simple. When they repented and returned to God, God returned to them in order to keep his covenant. He's not a covenant breaker. Paul said, if I deny him, it won't make him a covenant breaker. He won't be like people say, you break truce with me, I'm breaking truce with you. He said, no, I won't break truce with you. I won't break covenant with you. Amen. If I deny him, he cannot deny himself, but he remains what? Faithful. Faithful to what? His character of holiness and love. He will not stop loving in spite of what we do. Every sinner that goes to hell will go to hell, beloved of God. But they will go to hell. Listen to me carefully. Everything became spiritual. No one wanted to deal with their flesh. That reluctance to repent, that reluctance to be honest about our own personal failures. Hey, wouldn't it be better just come clean before God? Do real business with God and get victory. We had one lady give us a fit. Don't try to think. We had so many of them, you couldn't figure it out anyway. I've been in this for 40 years. You know, oh, that lady. No, there was, honey, there was a bunch of them. She gave us a fit. And we would try to get her into God's presence and get the love of God, the peace of God, and get work her through repentance. But she blamed everything on her past. I'm the way I am because of my past. Forget those things that are behind. Reach forth to the things that are before. You can't go forward looking backward. You can't blame this outrage of the flesh. We're Christians. Now, if you were not a Christian, you're still of your father, the devil. You're going to be locked in that prison forever. But if you're a Christian, he came to set you free. All those in captive, he came with an anointing to set them free. I talked with a family member recently, and boy, it's one of those things where the battery went dead, and we got right down to the nitty-gritty. So I know, I've heard the testimonies, I've seen God work in other people, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, but it just hasn't happened to me. I said, well, that's unbelief. You don't believe God can do it for you. That's easily solved. If you really want to be free, if you really want to get out of that prison, if you really want to get rid of that addiction, go to church Sunday. I'm not telling you to get saved Sunday or do anything. Go to church. Faith comes by hearing. The faith you need to believe that God can really do it for you comes by hearing. Not having heard, but hearing. It has to come freshly anointed. Can you say amen? And hearing by the word of God. Go somewhere to church where the word is preached in power. Faith will come alive. And get somewhere where the anointing flows. Because the anointing breaks the yoke. Did you know after 2 hours, when it came down to actually doing something that would make a difference, conversation ended abruptly. If I got to go to church and get under the anointing, then I won't have the excuse that God won't do it for me anymore. Faith will arise. The anointing will be present. There's no reason in the world why God can't set me free. But when you got a pet sin, you know what the real issue is? I'm not ready to lay it down. It's killing me. It's destroying me, destroying my family. But I'm not ready. Come on. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. People say God won't. God will. All of heaven will line up. I don't care if you're addicted to heroin. It doesn't matter how long you've been addicted to heroin. Can you say, man, God will set you, the anointing breaks the yoke. And it don't matter what the yoke is or how long it's been there. Testimony after testimony after testimony. Is anything too hard for God? Well, of course it isn't. But there's a lot of things that we don't want to do. And in this covenant of victory, there is no reason why every child of God can't come out of prison houses, why we can't shake off our shackles. Amen. For whom the Son sets free is what? Still bound by demons? Still messed up? No, he's free indeed. This is real freedom. This is the real deal. I remember, and I got to tell you this story. We'll quit tonight, but I just want you God-oriented. The devil is real. He's a formidable foe. Praise God. But he was defeated at Calvary by the blood of Jesus Christ, and he knows it. Praise God. We have power over him, and he knows it. Praise God. Hallelujah. And if you will submit yourself unto the Lord first and then resist him. See, everybody's got the name of Jesus and the faith formulas. But what we're not teaching is that absolute dedication to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? The Bible doesn't just say resist the devil. Nowhere is that in your Bible. It says submit yourself to God and then resist the devil. And we got a lot of people not truly submitted to God, trying to resist the devil by using the name of Jesus, and that does not work. Amen. Submit yourself to God. That means your flesh is now crucified. Amen. You take up your cross to follow him and him alone. You deny yourself in order to do that. And Satan, when he appeals to that flesh, that's where? On the cross, has no ground to claim in you. And when you resist him from that place of victory, he will do what? Harangue you, harass you, come against you, wear you down and wear you out. No, the Bible said he will flee from you. You can't blame a devil that's running from you for what's happening to you. Can we all say that tonight? Say, I can't blame a devil that's running from me on what's happening to me. Does that make any sense to you tonight? Does it make sense? By the way, that word flee means to run as in panic. Why would he do that? Because God takes up the battle. Same reason those enemies ran from Jonathan and his armor bearer. Because when they claimed the covenant, God took up the battle. And they realized they were fighting more than these two men that could fight good. Amen? The issue has never been who's against you. The issue has always been, can God legitimately be for you? And that's the thing that involves an honesty and sincerity and a transparency. I'm always concerned when I teach on the covenant that we'll just see what God owes us and what is ours to claim by faith and not understand that this begins with bowing before him. Can you say amen? We bow before the Lord and we pledge our allegiance to the Lamb and we reckon ourselves to be dead to the flesh but alive to God and we submit ourselves to God and resist the devil. He will flee from us. And when he is running away from us, we're not going to be always blaming the devil on all the things that happen in our life. We take responsibility. It's time to do that. I've watched people blame the devil for year after year after year. And that's what taxes me, is when I hear people cop out like that, that are God's legitimate children. One thing you better find out, are you a legitimate child of the Most High God? Are you authentic? Have you been really born again? Hanging out in church won't give you victory any more than sitting in a carport will make you a car. But coming to Christ transforms, translates out of the powers of darkness. You're not under that. He's not your boss anymore. Can you say amen? You're not the boss of me now. And you ain't so big. Hallelujah. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Will you stand to your feet tonight? I've enjoyed this. Sunday night is different, isn't it? Amen. Sunday morning, we can just get in those covenant tones, and Sunday night, the Holy Spirit gets specific. See some people sweating tonight. I want to see real victory in the lives of God's people. Amen. I don't want to see any more shipwrecked lives. I've seen a lot of them in 40 years. I don't want to see any more defeat or deceit. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. Christ came with another mission, to give us life, to give it to us more abundantly. to Peter, Jesus said, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as the wheat. Most of my Christian life, I looked at that scripture. And I thought that was personal between Peter, who was going to go through this great trial, through failing himself and failing the Lord, and how Satan wanted to take that and destroy him just like he did Judas. He wanted to get Peter so depressed, he would do what Judas did, go out and destroy himself. Satan has desired to sift you as a wheat. And I looked at that and I thought of that personal between Jesus and Peter. I never saw it as me and you, but me and you are in that scripture. The actual Greek wording is so important, the framework, when you really get into a deeper study than you can in a Strong's and just even a reference Bible, but you get into it deeper. You know what it says? Satan has desired to have you. He was speaking in the plural. Not just you, Peter, but all the disciples and all the believers for all time. Satan wants, make no mistake about it, your destruction and mine. He hates us because we represent the one that has consigned him to hell already. He just hadn't put him there yet. And he knows he's going there. There's no doubt in his mind. There's no doubt in hell. There's no unbelief there. Amen. Satan has desired to sift all of you as the wheat. But Jesus said, I prayed for you. I've interceded for you. Standing between the Father and you. Hallelujah. I want that mediatory ministry of Jesus. That's my greatest primary defense against the devil, is being right with my God. Can you say amen? So that he can take up the battle. Hallelujah. And I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And when, not if, but when you are converted, when you become another man, when you become a man that's established, praise God, that's not double-minded anymore, that's strong in the Spirit, hallelujah, then I want to use the very man that seemed the weakest of the bunch. I want you to strengthen your brethren. I want you to go to your brethren and teach them how to overcome. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I got a God like that tonight. I have seen enough Christian leaders fall. I've seen enough Christians fail. I've seen so many cop-outs. I've seen so many times when we could have done business with God and got true victory. And people would walk through those doors and walk right back out into their bondage and blame, play the blame game. Everybody say the blame game. We're almost done. Adam's in the garden. What does he do? What does he do? He sins. He sins. That's why God loved David so much. It wasn't because David never sinned, but when he sinned, he opened up to God and said, I did it. Don't blame that woman for bathing out there. I'm the one that had the choice to stand and get so filled with lust I'd kill her husband to cover my sin with her. I sinned. Why does that stick in our craw? Pride is the only reason. Or else, there's a pet sin that we know if we get right with God, we're going to have to lay that thing on the altar. And we're just not ready. Some people, it's a grudge. Some people, it's a drug. Some people, it's a sexual addiction. Man, in a church in Texas, mega church, over 20,000 people, drove 200 miles to meet what he thought was a 16-year-old girl for sex. And when he got there, it was the police, because he was an internet predator. Preacher by day, predator by night. Consumed with sexual lust. Standing in the pulpit, preaching from that book, baptizing, marrying, taking care of funerals, senior pastor. And when he got to the house, they arrested him for being a sexual predator, having the paraphernalia in the car to have sex with what he believed and acknowledged was a 16-year-old young lady. Put his ministry, his testimony, his relationship with God on the line, because consumed. Do you believe he could have overcome that sexual addiction? One of the, and I don't know why I'm going here, this tape is going out of here, so y'all may be off the hook. It may be for somebody that's going to hear this. James Robinson had a weak chink in his armor. He said, I would preach under God's holy unction. He said, I actually preached more services per year than Billy Graham. He would hold the great crusades. I had service almost weekly when he was in his prime. James Robinson said, and listen to the candid openness. He said, literally, I would be making an altar call. And my eye would go to an attractive young woman sitting on the front row. And I would go to God and feel like I'm not even worthy to preach. And I would confess, repent, do everything I needed to do. In his case, he needed someone to pray with him. And he went to a Pentecostal that believed that you could actually see yokes broken through the anointing. Can you say amen? Through the anointing. And he confessed his sin before God and to somebody else. One thing to tell God about is another thing to confess. Find someone that you can confident. And everybody needs somebody they can confident that they can be honest with. And he said, after we prayed together, God broke that. He said, I never gave in to it, but it was there and it badgered me, it troubled me, and I had to get honest with it. And when he would have pastors' conferences, inevitably many pastors at the end would come forward that were addicted to something on the internet or something else, maybe closet alcoholic, something they were addicted to. And they came to get that yoke broken because someone was honest and forthright and transparent before God Almighty. I'll tell you, get down before God to do business with him. No devil in hell can defeat you. You can rise up, praise God, out of the ashes. He'll give you beauty for ashes, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't he a great and loving, powerful, mighty, victorious Savior and God tonight? Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can, listen, if you will take this, all of this Bible, not just the part you like, but if you'll take all of this Bible, even the parts of it that put you on the spot, and say, Lord, this is cleansing to my soul. This is liberating to my soul. This is giving me a buffer against the enemy, praise God. If you'll continue in his word, John 8, verse 30, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You're authentic. You're real deal Christians. And you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Everybody say the truth will make me free. If I continue in his word. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Would you bow your head tonight? Is there anybody in this room before we have a praise and go home? Say, Pastor Venable, I'm tired of the one step forward, two step back. I'm tired of making a commitment and seemingly having the enemy come in and wipe it away. He's trying to get you to the point of discouragement that you just throw in the towel. Give up on yourself and give up on God and quit believing that there can be a mighty change within that will affect a mighty change without. I want to know true victory. Can I see your hand? All over this room, just lift it up, take it down. No one's being exploited here. I want to see true victory. I want true victory in my life. Amen. Anyone else? Several. Anyone else? Several. Yes. Anybody else? Yes. I want true victory. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. God sees it. Everybody's not going to respond. Amen. I've realized that. I'm not responsible for that whatsoever. If nobody raised their hand, I'm going to go home clean tonight and clear because I've told you how to be free. Can you say amen? Based on the authority of God's word and through his holy anointing. Praise the Lord. Enough people raise their hands in this room that if we get the liberty that is promised us by God, amen, flowing through our life, you know what's going to happen? Not only are we coming out, Satan knows more than that's going to happen. When I come out of any bondage, when I come out of any prison, amen, when I am another man, what's going to happen? I'm going to strengthen my brethren. I'm going to have an effect on others for God. Amen. Other people are going to say, I can overcome. I can be set free. I can live in victory. Can you say amen? This is more than just you. This is going to affect a lot of other people. There are some people in here, people are watching you, waiting for you to blow it again, waiting for you to fail. Well, let me tell you something. Amen. God is going to set our feet on a rock. He's going to establish us. We're going to be called, before this is over, the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. He's going to make us a pillar one of these days in the house of His God. Amen. He's going to establish us. We're going to submit ourselves to God with a devotion that is going to cause us to make commitments that's deep enough to hold when the storms come. Hallelujah. And when the devil comes, we're going to resist him, and we're going to get to see something uncommon to many Christians, and we're going to get a good look at the backside of Satan. Can you say amen? Amen. I know everybody in here knows the devil from the front side. I was going to do this, but the devil came against me. I was going to do that, but the devil came against me. Honey, God wants you to get a look at a fleeing devil. Because if we submit to God and resist him, he has no choice. He's got to run, because God's going to stand up. Can you say amen? Somebody say, God's going to stand up. Praise God. Well, lift your hands and give him some praise tonight before we go home. Hallelujah. There's victory in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just give him praise. If you have to run out, we know there's just real quick, just give him some praise.